Well, good morning, everyone. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book and turn to 363. 363, His Way With Thee. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Let's sing it all.
Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you this morning. Thankful for the Lord's mercies to us. And I've got to take care of something here. I was handed this a moment ago. Ladies, you can all go like this. Did somebody lose a, it looks like a seashell.
Oh, that's mine.
I knew he was going to do that. I was ready for it. Anybody, it's yours, Chase? Okay. Well, you come get it for Miss Williams. Today, and we're thankful for that. God's mercy to lead you our way. And we've got some things going on. We're going to have baptism following the message this morning. We're always excited to be able to baptize those that have placed their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a mark of something's going on, and we're thankful for that. Well, we're going to take a moment or two here and welcome each other. Church family, you make sure you get around and welcome our visitors. Let's do that right now.
All right, if you would return back to your seats, let's also turn to page 55.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred hand for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
On the last,
but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
You may be seated. Please stand with us once more and grab your handbook. Let's turn to 275.
When peace like a river attends. sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I
may I please come to the front for the offering? The announcements. The Hudsons have a, first of all, thank you for being here this morning, Metropolitan. It's a blessing to be here. Visitors. The Hudsons have a new letter in the back. Please stop by and pick one up. Become a volunteer. AM nursery workers, greeters, prayer warriors are needed. We have a group, a youth group activity Friday, August the 10th. If you are riding the van, Please be here by 11 a.m. We're leaving at 11 a.m. And I think the cost is $11.50, right? $11.50. Those of you that are coming on the van, get with my wife and she'll, so we know who's coming, so we can wait for you and who we're picking up, right? Primary class party Sunday, August the 12th at 12:30 to 2:30. Kids bring a towel and money for lunch. See Miss Sherry for details. Royal Sea Ranch Retreat. Money due today at the Welcome Center. Missionary Ben Hall will be coming August the 11th through the 27th, speaking on the 19th at PM service. Ladies on symbol practice today at 4:15. And we have the Project Nativity. Please get with Brother John. We do need volunteers. Some of you know what Project Nativity is. I heard it was a blessing, and Brother John, he told me a lot about it, so I'm excited about it. We do need a lot of volunteers, from what I'm told. So please volunteer. We're expecting to have it December the 13th through the 15th. And NBC September Ladies Conference. Those who have been asked to help decorate, registrate, music, act, please meet tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Pastor's and Miss Marsha's house. Any ladies who would like to be on the food list to prepare meals for families when needed, please see Miss Erlene. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, first of all, for a blessing to be here today. And Father, I do thank you for our brothers and sisters here today and visitors. And Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor as he preaches your word. I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray for those that are getting baptized today. We praise you for that, Lord. And Father, we pray that you bless the service. I pray that you bless the giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I would be. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Man, thank you. Sure enjoyed the music this morning. It's nice to be able to go to church. Nice to be in church where they still have church. And instead of a rock concert or something, we're here today to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ask you to be turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. Throughout the year, we've been looking at passages of Scripture that speak about or deal with the subject of following Jesus. It's amazed me. This is message 22 in that series, and we've got a ways to go. There's a lot in the Bible that talks about following Jesus. If you found your place there in 1 Peter chapter 2, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. We'll begin reading in that chapter in verse 19, where it says this. Peter writes and says, "This is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do it well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Amen. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Amen. Father, we bow to you before you once again. Lord, I want to ask you to give clarity that we might hear from you. Help the preacher loosen a stammering tongue. And I pray for ears for all of us to hear, Father. We'd hear the message that you would direct for each of our hearts today. Thank you for each soul present within this room. Pray that you might be pleased to speak to us each directly, powerfully, effectually, Lord, to deal with us right where we are at today. Lord, I pray for anyone might be within these walls today that does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I plead with you, Lord, make yourself known to them, reveal your Son to them. Might they see him in his beauty and his glory. Might they see him in his gracious sacrifice for our sins. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. Follow Jesus' footsteps. Well, upon first consideration or initial consideration of this passage, you might not want to follow the footsteps of Jesus as Peter describes here. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about suffering. And if you like the idea of being persecuted, of being under some sort of suffering, then I've got a doctor I want you to see. No one in their right mind enjoys suffering. But the Apostle Peter encourages as Christians to follow in the footsteps, the steps, concerning suffering for God. The footsteps of our Savior. Now, Peter's letters, as we would consider them as a whole, they're written to a people that were going to deal with persecution. They're written to encourage and to give hope where there was going to be suffering and battles that come these believers' way. Often they would find themselves under persecution from the Jewish religious leaders. And there are other times they'd find themselves at odds with the domineering and cruel Roman government. It's good for us to remember that there indeed are believers, Christians even today, that are suffering great persecution for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many parts of the world do not enjoy the religious freedom, the freedom to worship as God directs our hearts, as we do here in these United States of America. We need to enjoy it even while it lasts. Yet Peter encourages us in this passage to take note of, to recognize the example that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us concerning suffering. Suffering for God, and in turn follow his footsteps in this matter. How should we, and I say this, beloved, because we deal with so little, but how should we handle the prospect of persecution that indeed may come our way sometime in the future because of or for the sake of our love, our walk with the Lord? With the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we look at this passage and we see here the enduring wrongful persecution acceptably. To endure persecution in an acceptable way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just read there in verse 19 where it says, "For this is thankworthy." It's interesting that word thankworthy in that verse and again at the end of verse 20 is the word that we usually translate as grace. It's that word that we would translate grace or graciously. It speaks something of what pleases God in this matter of how we deal with suffering when it comes our way. That indeed we should do it graciously. And then even as I think about that and I think about what grace is all about. Beloved, grace indeed is our receiving from God that which we do not deserve. And even this matter of persecution for Christ's sake is not something we would typically see as deserving. But on the other hand, we can look at it as something we can receive in the grace of God and through his grace towards us. Persecution, wow. Persecution for God is an acceptable thing. We read in the 20th verse, it says, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Well, obviously, punishment for doing wrong should be expected, shouldn't it? When we do something wrong, we should expect the consequences for what we do wrong. We shouldn't expect to be praised when we do wrong, when we do that which is bad. In fact, if we get punishment for such behavior, we realize that we're simply getting what we deserve. What we deserve. It's hard to complain. We can, I guess. But it's hard to complain about a speeding ticket when you get caught going 20 miles over the limit. We still complain. The guy that cheats on his income taxes and gets caught really has no gripe. We get what we deserve. We get what we deserve. He's guilty. Peter reminds us that there's no glory in such things. We do wrong, we shouldn't expect to be praised for it. There's no glory because we would endure the punishment that would go with doing something wrong. But Peter goes on, and he says, if you suffer when you do well, when you do something good and you take it patiently, then this is something that is acceptable with God. Look, turn over a page to 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter there, he deals with this very same subject again from a little bit of a different perspective. 1 Peter chapter 4, we begin reading there in verse 14. And it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. What's Peter saying? If you're reproached for doing good, for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Happy are ye. It says, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, the world's part, he, Jesus, is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Verse 15 says, but let none of you, he's speaking to Christians here, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evil doer or, interesting, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, the idea is for being Christ-like. If you suffer for being Christ-like, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Do we get the picture? Hopefully. If in some fashion, some way, we would be reproached or in some way suffer for the glory of God, suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no shame in that. The world in these days wants to put that shame on you. It wants to, hey, it's trying to turn evil good and good evil. And you that would do right, they seek to shame you. In these days, you're the immoral one when you stand for right. You're the immoral one when you speak up for what real marriage is. You're the immoral one when you'd stand for an infant's life in the mother's womb. You're immoral, as the world would say. You're evil spoken of. But you don't never take a shame. Never be ashamed for standing for what's right. Especially for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the enduring wrongful persecution acceptably for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we also see the example of persecution from Christ, from the Lord Jesus Christ. The 21st verse, our theme verse for this message, really, says, "For even hereunto were you called." This is our calling, beloved. Amen. We're called to live for Christ. We're not called to live for self in these days. Amen. Times are desperate. We're being called to live for the honor and the glory of our God, for His Word. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Oh my. How did our Savior handle persecution for doing well? By the way, did Jesus ever do anything that was not good? Of course not. He always did good. He always did well. And yet we see Him over and over and over again being persecuted for it. What do we learn from how our Savior responded to being wrongfully treated? I think it's important. A thought I had as I considered this, and I know it's a foolish question, okay? I'll concede that up front, but just that we might get the point. Would the Lord Jesus Christ have suffered as He did if He would have remained in the carpenter's shop in Nazareth? No. But that was not His calling. Amen. That was not why He came to this earth planet. He came to what? To suffer for you and for me. He came to bear our sins, to suffer that ultimate persecution. Oh my. Indeed, the example a persecution that we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord came to preach, to do good. We see the multitude of miracles that He performed during His earthly ministry. And of course, those miracles were there to authenticate. They were there to give integrity to His message. His miracles declared who and what He was. Indeed, the Son of God and God the Son. He performed many miracles to give that message authority. We read from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "From that time and from that early time in His ministry, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" His message, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? It was the same message that John the Baptist preached, that men need turn from their sin. Turn and repent. Turn from sin. Turn to God. Turn to Him. When Jesus calmed a violent storm on the Sea of Galilee, His disciples were there in the ship with Him. And they said in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, "Then they that were in the ship came," His disciples, "they came and worshiped Him, saying, 'Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God.'" Oh, yes. His miracles authenticated who He was, gave integrity to what He taught. Oh, yes. Now, those messages that He preached, His words when He taught, and His miracles, well, they brought a lot of attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowds began to flock to Him and, of course, wanted to hear Him and wanted to get His help, His mercy. Because of all of that, and out of envy, the Jewish leaders incited the crowds and in turn forced the Romans to arrest Jesus and to crucify Him. It was out of envy, beloved. He was doing good. all he did well. And so we see in this Christ's suffering for us. What did it say there again in the beginning of verse 21? For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Jesus suffered in my place. Jesus suffered in your place, beloved. Jesus' condemnation to die that horrible criminal's death at Calvary was far, far more significant than the Jewish leaders or the Roman government had any clue of. They had no clue what they were doing when they murdered the Son of God, who came for that exact purpose. Oh my. The Jews, as we said, murdered him for envy. The Romans were simply trying to placate, to satisfy the Jews. But take careful note of the verse we just read. For even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us in our place. Christ suffered in our place. In verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Make no mistake. Say it one more time. Jesus died in our place, bearing our sins on his body on that horrible, ugly cross. There's nothing pretty about the cross. It's an ugly, hewn tree that our Savior forfeited his life upon. We see in this Christ, I'll use the word, his exceptional example. Christ's exceptional example. It says, leaving us, giving us an example. Peter understood what this was all about. Peter understood when he wrote these words what it meant. The Lord Jesus had warned him what he would endure for his sake. Mindful, some months ago, we preached from this very passage in John chapter 21. When he spoke to Peter and told him what his end would be. John 21 verses 18 and 19. Jesus speaking to Peter said this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Peter, when you were young, you did what you wanted. You did what you saw fit. You went where you thought you should go. But then he says, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thou whither thou wouldest not. The commentary says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should die. Peter would suffer for Jesus' sake. Peter would be killed and murdered for Peter's sake. For Jesus' sake. Paul understood this. Paul understood this. The Lord had shared with Ananias, that man from Damascus, the very man that had baptized Peter. I'll get it right. He shared with Ananias concerning what Paul's future would be. It says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 16, the Lord speaking to Ananias, he says, for I will show him, I'll show Paul, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Yes, Peter understood, Paul understood what suffering would come their way. Christ, beloved, left us an example. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example, and his followers throughout history have received that example, and they've carried it forward for us. Now again, we as Christians here in these United States of America have enjoyed religious freedom, the freedom to worship as we see fit, according to our conscience. But as we said earlier, that's not always the case in other parts of this world. There are people that suffer for the name of Jesus. There are folks that have suffered. Hey, there's people in this room and other that in other days and other times have suffered severely for the cause of Christ. And their examples carried forward for us. Should we, beloved, should we not be ready to receive persecution for Christ's sake? Should we not be ready for that? My prayer is, please understand this. My prayer is that no one in this room will ever be persecuted or suffered for Jesus' sake, but the possibility, the potential is always there. It's always there. And if God would see fit to allow persecution to come our way, are we ready to receive that for the glory of God? I know. We see here Christ's footsteps to follow. Follow his steps. Peter's challenge. Wow. Are there better footsteps to follow? I think not. I don't think we could follow any better footsteps than those that have been left by the Lord Jesus Christ. The steps of other men can be easy or hard to follow. The paths that some leave behind are ignored and should be ignored. The footsteps and paths of others that are left are quickly forgotten. But fortunately, the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ are clearly discerned, clearly understood. We have a dependable account and record of the life and, should we say, suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the following couple verses explain that for us. Verse 22, we read this, speaking of Jesus. Now listen, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Wow. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ was innocent, he was persecuted. He was persecuted. Who did no sin, Peter says. There are many, many statements in the Bible that affirm Christ's innocence. Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus, declared his innocence. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 4, Judas confesses saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. He knew Jesus was innocent. The repentant thief that hung there on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged his innocence. In Luke 23 and verse 41, he says to his fellow criminal, both of them there because of their guilt. And it says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. They were getting what they deserved. But, he says, this man hath done nothing amiss. The man that was in charge of Jesus' death, the centurion
who had the duty to carry out the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion, acknowledged his innocence. In the 47th verse of Luke 23, it says, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly, this was a righteous man.'" Wow. Wow. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he," God, "hath made him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "sin for us who knew no sin." Wow. We've just read what Peter wrote. John, the Apostle John, also speaks of this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, John writes, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Amen. Jesus was innocent. Absolutely, completely, totally innocent, yet he suffered. He was persecuted for us. For us. Yes. Though Christ was attacked, he didn't attack back. Though Christ was attacked, he did not attack others. What did we read? Who? Verse 23. "When he was reviled," reviled not again. "When he suffered, he threatened not." Oh, yes. I believe, and I think this is a safe statement, I believe that no human being has ever suffered as Jesus suffered. That what Jesus endured for us was the most horrible treatment that a human being has ever had to withstand. I could go into that. Maybe someday we'll go into an explanation of all that. He was viciously tortured before he was nailed to that cross. He was shamefully mocked and degraded. The Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, shamefully degraded and mocked. For literally no reason whatsoever. He was innocent. He was absolutely innocent. Yet in no way did he retaliate against his persecutors. Huh? In no way. He didn't say a word against those who had beat him. He didn't curse the man who laid the cat of nine tails to his back, ripping the skin and the flesh from his body. Oh no. He didn't condemn those who nailed him to that tree. Rather, just the opposite. Just the opposite. He requested. He prayed for their forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How could he do that? How could he do that? How could he forgive rather than curse, rather than revile those who had so terribly treated him? Verse 23 explains. It says he committed himself. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Please stick with this. This is his example to us. Those words, committed themselves, they have the idea that he gave himself. He surrendered himself. He surrendered, he gave himself to God. He surrendered himself to his Father. Understanding, knowing that his Father, the God of glory, judgeth all things righteously. What's it saying? Jesus trusted his Father. He trusted his Father's justice. Wow. I'm going to ask, I don't mean this trite in any way, but the kind of in the vernacular of our day. How did that work out for Jesus? Consider that. How did all that work out for the Lord Jesus Christ? We understand that yes, indeed, Jesus bled for our sin. He died in our place. He was buried in that borrowed tomb. But, beloved, after 3 days and 3 nights, he rose in total, complete, absolute victory over the grave and over death and over sin. How did that work out for Jesus? His sacrifice for your sin and for my sin was acceptable to his Father. Now get that in our brain. Sin had to be paid for. My sin, your sin, must be paid for. It is sin against a thrice holy God. That sin must be paid for. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' sacrifice for our sin satisfied your debt for sin. Huh? I know. It's getting warm in here, isn't it? Jesus' sacrifice, his blood, was the sufficient payment for the wages of my sin and for your sin. God the Father accepted that sacrifice. Huh? And so, after those 3 days and those 3 nights in the tomb, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. He rose and victoriously Amen. Over the grave. And as we are here this morning talking about that sacrifice, he is in his rightful place at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What are you trying to say, Jen? Jesus trusted his Father, and his trust was rewarded. Huh? What does Peter urge us? Follow. I'll get it. Follow his steps. What's Peter telling? What was he telling those dear saints that received this letter? What is he telling you and I? He's saying you can trust Jesus. You can trust God. That even if suffering comes your way, even if persecution from this world for the cause of Christ comes your way, you can commit yourself, you can commit your life to God. Huh? It will not fail. He cannot fail, beloved. He cannot fail. But to betray himself. As we close, very quickly, verse 24, speaking of Jesus and that sacrifice, it says, who his own self, this is what we've been talking about, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In just a couple minutes, just a few minutes, we're going to baptize 5 young people. So grateful for that. The picture that is demonstrated every time someone is baptized declares what we're talking about here. That as Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and as we said, rose again in victory over the grave. These young people that will be baptized, they're declaring to you here today that their old self is dead. Stand up, Carter. Forgive me. Carter's going to get baptized here in a little bit, along with some of these others. And when we enter into those waters of baptism, and I declare before you and to Carter that we're gonna say those words, buried in the likeness of his death, and we'll lower Carter and the others beneath the water, signifying that the old Carter's dead. The old lost Carter's gone. In the picture of going beneath those waters is that burial of the old man. And then as we raise him up out of those waters, it's a glorious picture of this young man and these other young folks as brand beautiful new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Carter. Jesus bore my sins. What's the last phrase of verse 24? What's those last words? By whose stripes you were healed. Those wounds, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed, is what provided your and my healing. The healing from the disease of sin. Oh my. I don't want to be morbid, but every one of us in this room is going to die physically of something. But Jesus is talking, or Peter's talking about something far greater than that. He's talking about an eternal healing. A healing that transcends this physical and this earthly life. It's a healing that speaks of the everlasting life. Every single one of us in this room without Christ was on our way to destruction. But the beautiful, simple, glorious words of John chapter 3, verse 16 speak of how all that changed. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, as Carter and Kristen and Ella and the others, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Shall not endure that destruction, that judgment, the wages of sin, but have everlasting life. Jesus died, as we've seen here today, so that we could live for Him. He's given us an example. How do we deal? How will we do with persecution if and when it comes our way? Can we follow His example? Oh God, grant us that grace. Grant us that grace. Let's stand together. Maybe you're here this morning and you need that cleansing. You need that forgiveness that we were talking about from the Lord Jesus. I plead with you. Jesus died that you could have everlasting life. Jesus died to pay the price, the wages of our sin. If you need Christ, I plead with you. Call out to Him. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It'd be a great day to get saved. It's always a great day to get saved. Father, we bow before you, thanking you for Jesus. Thanking you for the hope, the joy, the blessing that is ours because of Christ. Lord, thank you for giving us this example. The greatest example that we could ever have. The example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Please, Lord, grant us grace that we can follow in His steps, pleasing you. Lord, I do pray for anyone, man or woman, a young person, that may be within these walls right now that needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh God, I plead with you in Jesus' name. Deal with those hearts. Draw them, Father, beautifully, savingly, graciously to yourself. And as always, Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Brother John. As we sing, folks, please, might the Lord, just would you please just do what God would tell you to do today.
163.
As we sing, obey the Lord.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Man, you can be seated, folks. The young people that are getting baptized can go ahead and make their way. Brother Daniel, will you help back here? And Marcia, would you help with the young ladies? And they'll lead you to where you're supposed to be. And I'm this way, Miss Ella. Amen. John's going to come and lead you in a song or two while we get prepared for that. So thank you, Brother John.
Okay, if you would, turn in your hymn books to page 311. Now, I'm going to request that y'all have a song ready, maybe one or two songs, but keep it civil. I don't want a church split over it like last time. Just raise your hand maybe and I'll call on you. All right, let's sing page 311, Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. On the last, I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever I am. All right, raise your hand if you have a song. What's that? 56. That was good. We'll do it that way from now on. 56. The old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it some.
Another song. 506. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
One more. 507. That's a long way over. Come Thou Fount, one page over. 507.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, fixed on thy redeeming love.
One more. Miss Sarah? 365. How great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Amen. We always want to make it clear as we come to this time of baptism that these young folks that are being baptized today, they have made that profession of faith. They've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're as saved as they can be. What they're doing today in following the Lord in believer's baptism is following Him in that obedience to His command, but also as a testimony, as we shared earlier, of what Christ has done in their life and for them. And we have Christian Sanchez that's come first here. Ladies first. And Christian, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. Okay. Kristen, you can turn sideways here. Right there on that. And just hold my hand over here. Get yourself there. Kristen, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, in the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism today and become part of this church. Eva, on your profession of faith, on your profession of faith, Miss Ella, I baptize you in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is Carter McMullen, and he was his well was saved at camp this summer. I'm not putting you up on the staff.
No.
It's a little. The water's a little chilly. We came in this morning and it was about a foot low, so we had to add about a foot of water and kind of cool things off. Carter, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes, sir.
And it's your desire to follow the Lord of Believers Baptism and unite with His Church.
Yes, sir.
Carter, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. This is Anthony De Leon. And Anthony, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's your desire to follow the Lord of Believers Baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. Anthony, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, and Lord bless you. Profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Lord bless you. Lord.
Okay, please stand. Let's sing our chorus for this month. It's going to be 115, I Must Tell Jesus. On the chorus, I must tell Jesus. Let me get my key right there. Can you give me a note? I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, and us alone. You're dismissed.